between Austin and Houston. And if you're close by or just passing through, stop in and we'll swap howdies. Please keep your Bible and your heart open as we worship the Lord together. And if you just happen to live in the area and don't have a church home, please stop in for a visit and consider staying. Do I have to say all that over again? Now? Okay, pretend y'all didn't hear any of that. So it's recording now, so y'all going to have to cut all that I just said off, right? Oh, okay. Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 2. And while you're doing that, I want to welcome those of you who have just joined us on our website or on YouTube. We are delighted to have you on the extended pew this morning. We are a covenant church family in Burton, Texas, between Austin and Houston. If you're close by or ever pass through, stop in with us on a Sunday and we'll swap hiatus together. Or if you live in the area and don't have a church home, please stop in for a visit and consider staying. Please keep your Bible and your heart open and enter into our worship of the Lord Jesus Christ together. The Bible said, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. An older couple went into the doctor for their checkup. And of course, we know by definition that they were 66 or older. When the doctor said that they were physically in good health for someone their age, he asked if they were experiencing any problems, and they admitted that they both were getting a little forgetful. So, in which the doctor said a good thing to start doing would be to write things down where you won't forget them, and that'll help you to remember. So later that evening, they were sitting there in the living room watching TV, and the old man got up to go to the kitchen, and he said, I think I'm going to get me a piece of pie. His wife said, I'm a little hungry too. Get me a bowl of ice cream. Bluebell, of course. Of course. Coming right up, he said. And she said, wait, don't you think you should write it down so that you can remember it? But because I also want some chocolate syrup on top. Maybe you should write it down. He said, no, you want a bowl of ice cream with chocolate syrup on top. How hard is that to remember? But she said, I'm not finished. I want to squirt some of that whipped cream that comes in the can and put that on top. Now I know you're going to forget it. You need to write all this down like the doctor suggested we do. Oh, for goodness sake, he said. Now he's getting a little irritated. It's only 3 things and I've got them right here. Ice cream with chocolate syrup and a squirt of whipped cream on top. So he disappeared into the kitchen. After about 20 minutes, his wife started getting a little concerned, so she hollered at him, hon, you all right? He said, yeah, I'm fine. I'm just coming out now with everything. And so out he comes, and he hands his wife a plate of bacon and eggs. She stares down at the plate and said, I told you to write it down. You forgot my toast. The older we get, the more we begin to let things slip. But younger folks can do that as well. So one more story. A young husband was complaining to his friend over coffee about his wife being so negative with him. He said, "My wife is so negative. I remembered the car seat. I remembered the stroller. And I remembered the diaper bag. But all she could talk about is how I forgot the baby." Don't let it slip. That's what we're talking about this morning. Back in our reading in Deuteronomy 4, I want to look at one verse again. Deuteronomy chapter 4. I want to look at verse 9 again there. He said, "Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life." He said, "But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons," grandchildren. Verse 23. "Take heed unto yourselves, lest you forget the covenant." Take heed, it means be careful, pay attention. Or what is naturally going to take place is you're going to forget. There's so much information coming in. There's so many activities. There's so much to occupy our minds. It's easy to forget when you don't even have any problems going on in your mind. "Take heed unto yourself, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make you a graven image or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God has forbidden thee." Chapter 8, verse 10. Let's look at chapter 6, verse 12 first. Chapter 6, verse 12. "Then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." Chapter 8, verse 10. "When thou hast eaten and are full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. But beware, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day." Verse 14, "Then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." Verse 19, "And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish." You see how often he mentions the word forget. Proverbs chapter 2. It's something that that is natural, that happens to a natural man. Proverbs chapter 2. "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding." In other words, you're having to make an effort to remember what mom and dad said, the rules. You have to pay attention and listen. You have to search after, it's just not going to drop in your lap. Verse 3 said, you're going to have to cry out after it and lift up your voice for understanding. He said, you're going to have to seek her as silver, search for her as for hid treasures. Then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Chapter 3, verse 1, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." Verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, pastor's pals, and he shall direct thy paths into the life that he has prepared for you and has prepared you for that life. The teaching is so repetitious that it becomes second nature. Have you ever went to do something and you heard mom's voice? That should happen to every child of God. When we go to do something, we should hear the voice of the Holy Spirit saying, don't do that. I like to refer to this kind of teaching as pyramid teaching. The foundation is the largest part and takes the most time. It might take, 11 and a half years to get through the book of Romans. It may. That's because it's the foundation. And there's no such thing as not a good enough foundation. And then you don't just keep repeating yourself. You just don't keep building the foundation over and over. No, you reinforce the foundation and you add a level. And then as you add a level, you reinforce the foundation a little more. Then you add another level. Then you go back to that first level, strengthen it a little bit, and then go back to the foundation again until you get to the capstone. And by the time you get there, all you have to do is just put it on top, just like a cherry on an ice cream sundae. It keeps you from letting things slip. And that's what our text back in Hebrews chapter 2 is saying. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Chapter 1 of Hebrews, the Holy Spirit is leading Paul to establish the deity of Jesus Christ. He's God. And the Son reveals the Father through words. Verse 1 of chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. The angels did the same job as the prophets did. They delivered a message from God. Only with an angel, it was a little bit more dramatic. It was a little bit more attention-getting. But we don't worship angels, he's saying here in chapter 1. Or pray to them as intercessors to God. And that also applies to substituting angels with saints. They don't intercede for you either. There's only one mediator between God and man, and that's the man Christ Jesus. Instead, worship Jesus, the second person of the Godhead. He's better than angels. And then he goes on in Hebrews to say that Jesus is better than Moses. He's better than the high priest after the order of Aaron. He's better than the old covenant. So also don't worship prophets. Don't worship angels. Don't worship prophets or preachers. You'll end up stoning them when you find out that they're just as fallible as you are. Chapter 1, verse 14, speaking of angels, he said, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Same job that the prophets had, same job that preachers have. That's why pastors are referred to as angels in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. But you can call me Brother Larry. Only my wife can call me Angel Donovan. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And the we is Christians. He's writing to Christians here, we. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape? We that have received Christ, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? This salvation that we receive, if we neglect it, if we set it aside and go on about our life like nothing happened, how shall we escape this recompense of reward, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Now, if you'll turn over one book to the right, James chapter 1, verse 24, 23. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, in a mirror. For he beholds himself and goes his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. Hebrews and James go together just as Romans and Corinthians go together. James is like Corinthians, it's reproof. Hebrews is like Romans, it's doctrine. Doctrine, reproof. In other words, you're not living out the doctrinal teaching that you learned, Corinthian church, in Romans. James is reproving the Christian Jews that have been spread abroad and dispersed. He's reproving them. They didn't take heed. They didn't apply what they learned from the doctrinal teaching in Hebrews. You've forgotten what you heard. You've forgotten what you've learned. You've let it slip, he's saying. Verse 22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. You've heard, you've learned, you've been discipled in the doctrinal teaching of the Word of God, but you're not living it out in your daily living as a lifestyle. You've suppressed your faith and you are reverting back to the old life in the Jewish religion, James is saying. The Holy Spirit for us is saying that it's reverting back to the old life in the world or to the culture and familiarity of a church or denomination that is not Bible-centered or Bible-based, where the Word of God is not the final authority, if at all. You've slipped back to a lifestyle that's more comfortable and not as challenging as being exposed to the biblical teaching of what God has revealed to be true. A lot of guests and visitors have come through, lots, but few stay and become a committed part of the family. There were a lot of Jewish people who heard the gospel and believed. But it said, yet for fear of being put out of the synagogue, they did not openly confess Jesus Christ. They would not step out in faith and publicly proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, as God. Too much pressure from their family, from their relatives, from their friends. And they cared more about what their relatives and friends say than what God said. And so they stayed in the comfortable. They reverted back to the rituals and the forms instead of the spiritual reality of the presence of Jesus Christ as he spoke these from these words of Scripture. When you grow up and they do the same thing each and every time in a liturgical type of worship, there's a comfort there because you can think about other things and go through them and do them without any thought. The Jews thought about giving up Passover and Pentecost and tabernacles and the atonement, the familiar rituals and ceremonies on the Sabbath day. Sort of like giving up Easter and Christmas and christening, confirmation, Holy Communion, and this liturgical form of Sunday service. Hearing the word, but not doing the word. Coming and sitting and going through the ritual and then resuming life like you've always lived. And you sit alongside other students in school. You set aside other co-workers on the job, and there's no difference. Just doing the outward form, the outward ceremony, without any change inwardly. You come in contact with the truth about God and the truth about yourself, and it hits the mark. It resonates. It disturbs. It convicts. But when you leave, it quickly fades. As you immediately look at your phone, see what calls you missed from all your heathen friends that wasn't in church that called you while you were in church. It slips from your mind. And the world and your self-centered life in the flesh and in the world rushes back in and fills up that space. For if any be a hearer, verse 23 says, if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholds himself and goes his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But verse 25, whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein. By the way, law of liberty. The words of God, the commandments of God, produces freedom, not bondage. You see, sin and the devil and the world reverses it. Not true. Whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now remember, the second half of the chapter is true religion, true Christianity responds to God's word with faith. We respond by first hearing it, verses 19 to 21, then by doing it. Verses 22 to 27. There's three negatives, three positives. Three things will result in your life by not responding to God's word in faith. There's three things that will result in your life by responding to God's word in faith. And we're looking at the three negatives. Number one, if we don't respond to God's word in faith, we will, number one, deceive ourselves. Number two, we will forget ourselves. Number three, we will corrupt ourselves. We will forget ourselves. If any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholds himself and goes his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. Verse 22, but be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Here's the truth, verse 22, with an exclamation point. Be, it's a state of being. That state of being produces actions. It produces a lifestyle. Be doers of the word. Be who you are. Otherwise, you will deceive yourself. You will delude yourself that you're right and the Bible is wrong or irrelevant. And number two, you'll forget what the Lord told you and revealed to you in His Word, the Bible. You'll forget that true picture of yourself. Because of the water situation, I didn't shave all week. You notice who's giggling. It didn't bother me at all. Well, until I looked in the mirror. I said, oh, that's why Phyllis has been looking at me so funny. I think I'm going to heat up some water and I better shave. But then I got busy reading and studying. I forgot all about it. And that's exactly the illustration that James is using here. When we don't read and study God's Word, when we stay out of church and from the teaching and preaching and the fellowship with God's people, we deceive ourselves into believing that it doesn't matter. I don't have to read the Bible every day. I don't have to go to church every Sunday. It doesn't matter. And then you forget your true spiritual condition. You go and visit with other people with this mental image of yourself as clean shaven, with clean clothes, and smelling minty fresh. When in reality, if you stood on a street corner, people would hand you money thinking that you are homeless, delinquent, or vagrant. Three quick things and we'll be done. Remember, there's no evening service, so this is the evening part of the service. Real quickly, we forget ourselves by, after hearing God's word, we respond by hardening our hearts. What does it mean to harden your heart? The word of God, the admonition, it loses the impression that it first had. When your heart is soft and pliable, your emotions are just right there. You're affected by what God has revealed in His word about your spiritual condition with Him, and it affects you greatly. But the more you hear and the less you respond to it, it has less and less of an effect on you. The Bible also refers to that as being dull of hearing. You know, like being a teenager. It sort of just goes through one ear and out the other. Harden your heart. Go back to Hebrews just for a second. Chapter 3, verse 7. He said, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost says, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. When you hear God's word, when your bell gets rung, respond to it immediately. Don't harden your hearts. And then he uses the example in the day of temptation in the wilderness, verse 9, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved. God said I was hurt with that generation and said they do always err in their heart and they have not known my ways. The book of James is so that we will respond to God's word that reveals His way so that we can live out His ways in a Christ-like lifestyle daily. That we are affected. We're affected so much with what we have heard and learned from God's word that it changes how we live. It changes how, as was said in the prayer, how we respond to emergencies and to trials and to temptations. We respond differently than the world. The Lord said in verse 11, I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. A Christian can have unbelief. It's called not applying faith, not doing the word. An evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Oh, you're saved, but you're living apart from the ways of God. You're living a lifestyle of the world. You hear the word, boys and girls, you hear it in Sunday school, you hear it in church, and then you go to school and you act like everybody else in school that hasn't been to church and doesn't know God. You emulate, you imitate those that you see on movies and on videos instead of Jesus Christ. Those of us that go to jobs. Those of us that go into the community. Are they seeing Christ? Or are they just seeing a reflection of themselves? Christianity is living out the ways of God. It's a way of daily living. It's a lifestyle that's totally different from the lost and from the religious moral lost. So instead of living out God's ways of holiness and righteousness, we harden our hearts, and then we secondly live out our ways instead of God's ways. We hug everybody in church. We tell them we love them. Shake hands with them. And then we try to cut them out in the parking lot to get out first. So we can be first in line. Or we say whatever comes into our mind, which is usually something of the world because that's what we fill our minds with. It's a gripe. A complaint, anger. When we gripe and complain as much as a lost person, where's the difference? Where's the effect that we're having on a lost person? In other words, there's no restraint in our speech. And then, lastly, we forget. After we've heard the word of God, because we harden our heart, because we go back to living our self-centered ways instead of the ways of God and the Lord. But we forget who we are. We forget who we belong to. We forget who it was that saved us and forgave us and gave Himself for us. We forget why we did this in the first place. Why do we come on Sunday? First and foremost, it's to worship God. It's to do so publicly with God's people because we cannot do that anywhere else. We can worship God, yes, but not in a place where God's people are assembled together for that purpose. We can be a family at Best Western, but it's not nearly the same as in the living room. Christ is living and dwelling in our heart. Live that out, or either cover it up and suppress it. That's our choice as a Christian. Here's the solution, and I'm done. James 1:25. Right? A forgetful hearer, he forgets what manner of man he was, verse 25. But whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he does what he heard. He lives out what he has understood from the knowledge that he's received from God's word. He continues Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. What happens? He'll be blessed. In his daily living out this life, he'll be blessed. The joy that he has will come out, and he'll experience it. You can have joy and never... never appreciate it. Okay, I'm about done. Y'all can stop praying. You can have joy and not appreciate it. You can have a voice and not appreciate it. You can have power and not appreciate it. You can have water and not appreciate it. You can have this that we're doing on Sunday morning and not appreciate it. And sometimes God has to send a little reminder. Don't forget to respond to God's word in faith. Don't harden your heart. Don't revert back to your ways. Don't forget who you are. Father, we thank you this morning for what you've done for us. Lord, you died for us. Now, may we live for you. Lord, thank you for this message that's in this book. Spirit of God, thank you for moving the Apostle James to pen these words. Before we rush out to think about the past week and all the problems, and most of us probably have a list a mile long of what needs to get done now. Before that happens, may we pause. And may we allow your word to sink in. And may we resolve this morning to not let it slip. To not forget it when we get busy and tied up and stressed out. May it be a constant in our life. May it govern our conduct and our speech so that we can be effective witnesses for you to people who are watching us and paying attention to how we respond to injustice, how we respond to difficulties, how we respond to problems and frustrations, how we respond to emergencies. The world is watching. And Lord, if your word doesn't abide in our heart, all they'll see is us and our natural fleshly nature instead of you. And Lord, I believe honestly that no one in this room wants that to happen. So Lord, may we depend completely and trust completely in you and in your strength and power in order for that to take place. And then to come in contact with that power requires prayer and obedience to what your word says. So Lord, may we resolve in our heart, may we purpose in our heart as Daniel did, to live the life that you saved us to live. Lord, if anyone is lost, has never received you as Savior, I pray this morning that they would, before the word is snatched away from them, from the world, that they would allow that conviction to bring forth repentance and belief to the saving of their soul. May they open that closed door and invite you to come into their life and to be their life. And Lord, for your people who this message was pinned down for, constantly allow the word to be a reminder of how blessed we are to have you as our Father, to have you, Lord Jesus, as our Savior, and you, Holy Spirit, is our indwelling presence. May we respond to your word by faith this morning. In Jesus' name.